Hello and welcome to Ride the Omnibus. I'm your host, Ariel Baska, and today I'm speaking with directors Sam Freeman and Ing Chun Ping about their film Femme, which is a powerful exploration of gender performance in a neo-noir revenge thriller.
Hi, so I am so delighted to be able to talk to you about this incredible film. Femme is such a powerful film about the posturing of gender performance and what we choose to accept within ourselves. And I wonder if you could talk about where this came from and what you were hoping to achieve with this.
I guess the idea came, so Sam and I were housemates for a number of years. And then, you know, he was primarily a screenwriter and I was primarily a theater director. And we've been talking about working on something together for a very long time. And then finally, this idea came about where I don't know yet if this is a real word, but we talked about heterophobia, of how the feeling of of fear, of nervousness, of not being, of not belonging in aggressively straight spaces, and how we have to somehow try to swim in it or hide or put on a facade, you know, in order to survive, to remain intact in such situations. And from there, we thought, what is the genre that would allow us to turn this idea into a plot, into a narrative plot? And that was what gave us the short film, and as well as this revenge neo-noir thriller where a queer character has to go undercover, has to put on a disguise, you know, a different gender performance in order to infiltrate the world of his attacker to exact the revenge that he feels he needs to reclaim the power that has been robbed from him.
And it's so powerful in this film. I mean, it feels very raw and very real, and the characters are so incredibly embodied within the language. I wonder how you thought about adapting that short into a feature screenplay, Sam.
The challenge often with adapting a short into a feature is that if it worked well the first time, it's probably finished. Basically, like stories tend to work when they are the correct length for what they are, and there's a real, like, it can get a little hairy when you try to, like, sort of stretch something. Or, you know, when you try and put a whole feature idea into a short film, it kind of goes both ways, really. And so what we got from the short when we went back to it was that what we discovered from it was that there was this dynamic between the two characters, these two characters. The in the short, it's this young queer guy, this drug dealer. And there was something about these two people who were sort of struggling with their own relationship to their masculinity and sexuality in different ways coming together and kind of clashing that felt very compelling to us. And so we sort of ripped that from the short and in a way threw everything else out and went, if we take this central dynamic, we take a version of these two characters and leave them a little fluid for now, where does that put us? And we kind of built everything from there. So it was a new, you know, it is a new story. The characters actually are, in a way, sort of archetypally recognizable from the short, but actually are very different people. Mm-hmm. And you know, from that, that's sort of from exploring that relationship. And then, you know, what does this say about gender? How does this relate to our own feelings as queer men, our own feelings on our own gender and our own relationship to masculinity? That sort of brought us to drag as a kind of central kind of thematic place to build the story from.
As artists who are in the UK, it's very interesting to sort of see how this plays out in a UK context, whereas in a US context, everything about gender performance becomes so incredibly politicized and so incredibly political in terms of how all of those things are. And so I wonder, have you experienced that politicization as well?
We've had a smaller version of it. The drag story hour stuff. We've had like a small version of it in London, but over here, thankfully, very gratifyingly, because my parents actually, there was a protest sort of near where they lived, and they turned up to, you know, to protest on the side of the drag queens, and actually took photos, and there was like five men protesting against and a huge crowd of hundreds who were there to support the drag queens. So I think it's been smaller here, and I suppose, you know, we live in London. There's been a lot of kind of liberal support in the right direction. I think we live in a very metropolitan city, but we also still, if I walk down the road, I have to like look around and think about what area I'm in before I choose to hold hands with my boyfriend. And I think, you know, obviously our feelings about that, the anxiety we carry around with us about that is something that we're exploring in the film. You know, we chose to sort of use art as a way to kind of, I guess, exercise that for ourselves, because it exists in, you know, bigger or smaller ways in almost all public moments, really, for queer people, I think.
Yeah. But to make a film that is so confrontational and so incredibly, shall we say, high contact as creation, I have to ask for you, Ing, how did the direction work for you when you had to be constantly thinking about intimacy in these strange ways that maybe had never been quite as transgressive as it appears in the film?
I mean, I wouldn't say that, I can't say that the things that happen in a film have happened to me or to us, but I think living in this world, living in this community, you're always exposed to people who have experience elements of that, and being who we are, our identities are always being politicized, even if we don't want to politicize them. It's being used to draw the battle lines between, you know, one form of politics against the other. So I would say that it's all pretty familiar to us, the emotions that the characters experience. And in directing it and, you know, working with the actors and indeed working with all the other creatives to embody this story, I think the best we can do is to make it as authentic to ourselves as we can. I think there is, rightly or wrongly, there's always this pressure to want to represent everyone everywhere all at once.
Yeah.
You know, and at some point we found that perhaps that's impossible. We can't speak in all voices and speak for all points of view, and we can. And this is true. We eventually found the truth of it in that we can only speak for ourselves and be as true to our feelings about these situations as we can in the film. So in a way, the film is highly personal. And in fact, this is a useful mantra for us, isn't it? Where we go, if we make something highly personal, in some way, it becomes universal.
Yeah. The universal in the specificity is always so important, I think. And it really is so incredibly powerful because you have such a deep-seated emotional attachment to the character of Jules in particular. And in terms of your theatrical background, how hard was it to choreograph all those fight scenes, all those sex scenes, all of the touching?
Sorry, we had intimacy coordinator with a fight director, and in fact most of the time the intimacy coordinator and fight director were working at the same time, because a lot of the intimacy verged on the violent, and a lot of the fights made the characters slash actors incredibly vulnerable. So both were integral to helping us shape the thing. And the way we did it is, yes, we were telling an incredibly edgy and vulnerable story, which made it even more important that we had a structure and we had the expertise to help us professionalize every scene to the nth degree, so that the actors felt safe and able to perform creatively without any feelings of you can't say no, and you know, and that consent was very much the top priority in every moment that we did.
Yeah, when we were working on particularly the intimacy scenes, Ping and I, when we were directing, we would work through Robbie Taylor Hunt, who was our intimacy coordinator. We would work with Robbie and be like, this is what we need for the story. This is what's going on. And then Robbie would go and work with Nathan and George, and they would choreograph something and bring it to us. But we sort of avoided a situation where either Ping and I would I would directly sort of go, George and Nathan, we want you to do this or that, because that puts you in a strange situation where if they feel uncomfortable, it becomes awkward. No, there's a power structure there that becomes problematic, like even if, you know, even with the best intentions. And so there was a wall that was placed, which was ultimately like a creative asset rather than something that got in the way, because it just meant everyone felt sort of free to kind of really go there in the way that they felt comfortable with.
No, it seems like it really was a creative asset, given how those performances come through and how clear the sense of character is within each of those moments, which is something that I think a lot of people, when you're in the position of being a director, I think it's so often that we forget about the power imbalances. And I really commend you both for spending so much time on that. I also wondered if you could share a little bit about what it was like to work with the actors in this, because they both give such incredible performances. And I wonder also, in terms of using theatrical techniques, was that the preferred method for getting them to these spaces?
I'd say not really. I mean, I suppose, I think so much of part of the job of a director working with actors is that you're there to facilitate their process in a way. And actually, that's what we really worked with Nathan and George, was to make sure we were giving them what they felt they wanted to receive in order to kind of access the characters. And it's so personal with every different actor, I think, because everyone has a different process and a way to get there. They were a joy to work with, because they came with so much passion to it. And really kind of threw themselves at it, and they get along so well. They got along so instantly well, like even at the chemistry read, that they were kind of the energy at the heart of the set that meant that sort of everything kind of flowed from there. It was a real collaboration, really. And they brought so much to set with them, and there was so much work that had been done outside. I mean, we did some rehearsal, and we did some script work. And obviously, you know, the choreo and the intimacy stuff, but it's a story about sort of drag in a way. And I think we invited them to sort of create their own drag and bring it to set with them and to sort of work from there.
Yeah.
It kind of dovetails with your previous question about, you know, power structures and how directors need to be very aware of that. And I think the way we worked with them was always to start from character. What would the character do? How would the character feel in every given moment? Which meant that the actors were always, I hope, in control of their own creative process and what they give for each take.
When you talk about how the characters both bring this sense of drag with them, I wonder also how much you felt the weight of that heterophobia within the power structures on set at all. I'm just curious, in terms of both creating this from a sense of danger, was there a way that you mimicked that danger at all on set, or was it entirely just about being as safe and consensual as possible?
Yeah. Second one, I would say.
The second one, we didn't create a real situation and then throw them in with our script. You know, it was very much entirely in the control. And I suppose that what we've also learned is that because a film set can be very intense and there are certain legacy structures to a mm-hmm. film set that can be a bit fraught, but we found that our film set, or at least from our point of view, was really lovely. And I suppose we have to credit the producers for bringing together a group of people who were 21st century film set people, rather than the previous century. So it was always very lovely, and I think as well to have not one but two queer directors at the heart of it just meant that people had to behave.
Yeah. And I think that it's that sort of what I meant also about Nathan and George's energy and the way that they got along and what they brought to set, because it's such a dark film and the subject matter does get very dark. They brought such a lightness of energy with them. And obviously they're always at whatever we were in this film, kind of at almost every moment, whatever we're making, they are at the core of it. And they sort of, I think they really like brought that with them and were able to kind of laugh and joke with each other when the camera was off, and and they had, you know, certain rituals they would do with each other that just sort of, you know, reminded us that this is also make-believe, and it's not, you know, we didn't want to bring that danger to set because actually the actors are talented and they bring their imagination to it and create it. And once the camera turns off, we are in a safe space.
It's such an incredible film, and it's such an incredible testament to your powers as a pair. And I can't wait to see what further things you come up with from here. I'm very excited.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so very much for this interview and for sharing your thoughts on the construction of this film that I'm recommending everyone see as quickly as they possibly can. So,
thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. And thank you for taking a moment right now to reflect with me on the history of the land you are listening on now. Whether you are stuck in traffic or sitting in your office chair, take the time to look up whose traditional lands you are on now and what treaties govern those territories. I record this podcast on the site of land stolen from the Manahoac people. I am grateful to work on this land, and I acknowledge that we need to protect and honor the history of the indigenous people from other tribal nations that have made innumerable contributions around the world. I share this in the hope that my listeners may join me in honoring our past, present, and future. Without this land, this earth, and each other, we are nothing. Before I go, please take 30 seconds now to leave us a 5-star review by clicking on Support the Show in the show notes. We don't want your money, we want your words. A simple RTO rocks my socks expands our reach and helps us keep bringing you great content. And connect with us on Instagram and Twitter, where we are at Omnibus Ride. You can also visit our website, omnibusride.com, where you can go to dive deeper into our content and learn more about the show. A special thank you to our amazing editor, William Das. We truly couldn't do what we do without him or Danielle. Be well, be safe, and keep in touch.